they all join the group.
Yeah. And then you got Judith N. Vandenberg, president and chief executive officer of Big Brothers and Big Sister. Wait a minute. What's she doing in charge of the brothers if she's a sister? Well, but Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Then you got Reverend Jim Wallace, president and executive director of Sojourners, Washington, D.C. Dr. Sharon Watkins, general minister and president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And another female pastor, Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, then it says, note, it says members marked with an asterisk were announced today. The White House Office for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships will be a resource for nonprofits and community organizations, both secular and faith-based.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. They're blending them in. Right now, here's the blending of opposites. Right now. The blending of opposites, both secular and faith-based, looking for ways to make a bigger impact in their communities.
For the greater good.
The church's ways was supposed to be prayer and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ in those things. And they're there to learn their obligations under the law, and they say to cut through the red tape, to make the most of what the federal government has to offer, and other members of the advisory council were announced earlier this year. Now, you know what? That's just marked the beginning of compromise. And that's the way it's going to be, because everybody will be glad to say, I'm on this committee, man. I'm on this committee. The president appointed me. I am this. And when we meet, we have to fly. They put them up in nice hotels.
So that's how it starts. The person that, yeah. The people that he picks.
Yes.
Now they're happy and they get their chest poking out.
And then they come back.
And then they tell all their friends, I got picked. So now they, because they're in that number one position.
Yes.
Their friends yes. want to get a piece of it too. So they're all going to line up to get behind him and say, yes. Hey, you need any help?
Yes. And then they're going to come back and get the rest of the natives to follow the drinking gourd. You see, basically, this is, they're called facilitators.
Yes.
If you know anything about the facilitating process of the dialectic, I think I'm going to go into that right now and share that, Mark, with some of the people, because I don't think that these people are believing me on this.
Need somebody to shake hands and make introductions and pull people together. That's why you need this facilitator person, because yes. they're there to be the middleman or woman when it comes to bringing this side together with this side, making introductions. Then they have a big meeting and say, now I know we all come from different parts
there you go.
Of the city and from different philosophies, but now that we're all in this room together, we've had donuts and coffee, yeah. and the lovely ladies have given us pizza. Now we can all come together on one accord for the greater good of meeting together. Man. Can we all clap?
And then they're all applauding each other.
He's so good. He speaks so well.
If you've ever been in one of those meetings, excuse me, you know exactly how that works. I'm looking for, I went beyond it. Let me back up right here. All right, Bromance just walked in the studio. And I want to thank you folks for tuning in. It just takes me a little while because I did not think that I was going to go into this, but I'm looking for intro. Here we are. Okay, intro to, here it is. All right, I want to go to the introduction into philosophy here. And then as we look at these things, I'll probably have to, it's going to take me too long to find it. It's going to take me a little bit too long to find it because I have the wrong computer up. But it is nothing but a facilitated effort by individuals to take over your brain. And that's what they're doing. Yeah, I can't go into it this way. The facilitator is a person that is hired to get the rest of the group to play ball. That's what it is. And when you have all of these people from all of these different organizations, remember, Obama was a community organizer. He learned these things even before he went to grad school. He and Hillary learned it. their mentors, their teachers, were social communists. And they taught these people how to set up these particular institutions and to carry out these things. One of the things that you do is you offer a job or a position to some of the persons that you want to be on your team without those persons really considering or realizing what your ultimate objective is. You give those persons, and you people need to listen to me, you give those persons a position, okay? You give those persons a position, and once you give that person a position, the person is used as a facilitator to get the rest of the people to follow suit. Okay, I've found some of my notes here, and I want to share this with those of you that are listening because you don't know the way a facilitator works on you. And the facilitator, this is, you don't know what they are, but they know what they are. They were placed in that position to present lockjaw to you to shut down your particular idea about how life works. Now, I want you to listen to me as I walk you through this, and then you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. I'm almost there. Thought I was there. I went to the wrong outline. Let me find the right outline here. I got to find the most recent outline here because it's important that I share this with you people out there. You're going to see, I didn't want this one. I wanted intro to philosophy, this one here. Okay, now let me do this. And I want to share this with you people because if you don't know these things, you are subject to fall prey to it. Oh, I know what it is. I didn't have it on these old outlines. I only have it on my new one. And that's what's giving me the problem. So let me do this. I told you I'd find it. I found it. Now, this is the way it works. And Mark, I'm going to try to talk to people through it. This is the way it works. All right.
It'll be great. Everybody get your pencil and paper handy.
Yeah, get your pencil. As a matter of fact, for this particular webcast, I'll try to put some of this stuff up and so that you can see how it works on my website somewhere. First of all, thesis is who you are. Now, Obama has a thesis. He has a plan already in his mind on how he's going to destroy America. And it's happening systematically. His thesis is his idea of how he thinks America ought to be run. Now, there has to be someone else's thesis, which is another person's position or worldview, which is called antithesis. Now, what the whole purpose of the dialectic is to bring together the groups in consensus. That's what Greg was talking about in the Bible study. Greg Ellis is talking about.
Right.
When he used the term consensus. And consensus is nothing but synthesis, where you're bringing things together. It's where you take your traditional view and you move from your traditional view going through a transitionalized state until you are finally transformed or carried into the transformational. This is what the dialectic is all about. This is what Obama is seeking to do. If you're not wise, you're being carried into that unconsciously. Now, how does it take place? There has to be two or more theses or differing views on an issue. That's why you got all these people on that committee.
Right.
Differing views. Bring them all together. Set them around the table. All right? And the idea is that a common goal has to be reached. How can we all commonly get this money and make our community better and everything like that? Well, wait a minute. Hold it. There used to be in this country, when there was a problem in the country, rugged individualism, you just set out and worked hard and solved the problem yourself within the community that you was in. You didn't need the whole nation to help you, all the banks to do things like that. So the purpose is to talk or to dialogue until you come into consensus. And that is what Obama is doing by putting Blake on this committee and all these other people. Now, George Frederick Hegel, the guy that put this whole thing together, would say that the dialectic always works by rejecting what is not rational. That's why, Mark, they're in a group.
Right.
Because he said, it is not rational for us to struggle in the inner cities and try to make our cities and community work if we're doing it independently. So we reject what is not rational and retain what is rational. Wait a minute. I want to know who discovers or develops what is rational. I know what is rational for me. Hegel would also say that this activity increases the activity of the mind, giving all of its objects, all those people on the committee of thought, their proper and rationally conceived place in the whole, because the dialectic is to bring everyone into the whole. That is straight out communism. You have to understand that, because whenever, Mark, you run into one person that doesn't agree with the other people in the group, well, what are you going to do with him? Now, how does this take place? It takes place, there has to be a face-to-face encounter. That's why Obama got all these idiots together. Got the male preachers, female preachers, all different denominations. He knew that they would never agree on anything, so there has to be one common cause. And the common cause is a dollar. How are we going to get some money? Then everybody has to participate in the group, in the discussion.
Also, the big idea is help the president.
Well, of course, because when the group works through this consensus process and these facilitators are put together, it's going to make him look good, and the people that participated in this thing, to get the suckers, the little man on the bottom, into it, and by promising them peanuts when the people that's invited in the group are getting a larger chunk
right.
of the pie. Trust me, these people that's on this list, a lot of these people are living like large. So this is where the bonding process takes place in these meetings, where they share their differences, and this is also where they begin to focus upon which ways that they might compromise in order to achieve a group solution. See, this is communism. It worked in Mao's China. It worked in Russia. Now that mess has been brought here by our Looney Tune president. What is the issue today? What are the felt needs of the group? What do we need to do in our inner cities? What does the unit need? What does the company need? What is it that we all have in common? We all want change, don't we? Seeing everybody join that thing. And the source and the solution is yours, giving you the feeling that you're important. No, you're not important. Obama and his team in Washington has set this whole thing up. And all you are is you're being sucked into the vortex. They would mention things like, come on, Pastor John, there has to be a global analysis here, and that there's a solution that we've got to arrive at, and we need the agreement of the whole group to do it. Come on, John, won't you participate? Now, how does this really take place? There has to be an expert to control the direction of the communicative processes. See, when Obama get these people together, he got somebody that's already been trained how to control the group. Because some of the people are coming into this meeting and they're sitting around the table, Mark, and they're thinking, well, it's going to be money for the community. That's what I'm here for, money for the community. They don't even know that they're being processed.
Yes.
They have no idea, because the process, when Hegel put this thing together, this thing is so swift. Those of you that are listening to me, those of you that know philosophy, I teach philosophy. I know what this mess is. I see it all the time happening around me. That's why I got ulcers. So the leader is trained to shut down people like me, or attempt to do so. See, because I'm a traditional thinker. I would say, man, if I want my life to work, I need to get out there and get up off my behind and work hard and make it happen for me. I don't need the white man, the black man, the Chinese man, nobody to give me nothing. I'm going to struggle to make it, fall on my face before God. God is going to help me. Now, these persons, these facilitators, do away with right and wrong thinkers. Because in this group, Mark, there is no right and wrong. Obama got his agenda there. And the people that's running the meeting is setting that agenda.
So the right and wrong people would say, no, we can't do that. We shouldn't take that route. They need to get rid of that kind of person.
Right. Well, they got to shut him down. See, they've got to shut him down, because there has to be participation with others in thought and deed in order for the process to work. If you ain't thinking with the rest of the group, they're going to say, hold it now. We don't have Mark on our team. Mark, what is it that you need to understand about this? Do you believe that we need the money? Well, yes. Do you believe that we love you and that we're working with you? Yes. Well, Mark, why don't you shut down the way you're thinking about this and think with us, because the majority is going this way. Next thing you know, Mark starts crying in the meeting, and they come and lay hands on you and they pray for you, since they're all clerics. Oh, Lord, open up his mind. Show him what he needs. You feel goosebumps. You think something's happened to you. These suckers have manipulated your mind, and you say, all right, now I see the light. Oh, come on, man. Come on. In Mao's China, they just brought a dude in with a pistol and put a bullet in your head, and they ended that.
They just said, can we see you outside for a minute?
Yeah, and they done freeze you with a bullet.
Yeah.
See, the whole process is called unfreezing, and it comes about when there's a manipulating procedure through role-playing in this meeting. That's why all these clerics that even have different theological bents and different beliefs are going to sit down at that table and agree with everyone. They're role-playing into a new problem. And the group is drawn into collective participation. One that is schooled in the dialectic know that I'm not lying. It's called collective participation through the use of ambiguous words. Doublespeak is the term. They use doublespeak on you, and that's how they get you into the trap. Now, since I know that that is what they've done, there is only one way for you to keep yourself out of that dilemma. And that way is for you to have your first cause. And you're going to hold to your thesis because you said so. Because your thesis is based upon facts and not feelings. You don't want to get into re-reasoning why you don't agree with that. Now, here you got a Muslim here, and you're saying, well, now, when you go and speak at each other's religious institution, you can't mention the names, because none of these people are in those meetings mentioning the names of their deities to the other people, because that would offend them. And that's one of the tricks, how they get them all to sit down.
So that's the right and wrong thing. Somebody that would mention their, like you said, their deity.
Jesus, you know, if somebody say, well, let's pray that Jesus will open our minds, well, the Jewish man's going to be offended.
Yeah, so the right and wrong people are the ones that have parameters on either side of them. They live with some sort of parameters.
Right. And what Obama is seeking to do by putting together this hodgepodge group of strange bedfellows is to bring them into consensus. Because here again, the socialist agenda is to show how easy it is to get anyone in any community to compromise themselves for a common goal. And when you compromise yourself, you must forbade God. You must deny God. That's why Mark, in the article that you presented at the beginning of the webcast, he covers up the symbols of Jesus.
Right.
You see, and immediately when you brought that to my attention, since I teach philosophy and I know the way it's done, I said, man, come on. Now, those of you that just heard what I said, you need to tell your friends to come to the website, listen to this webcast, and get their head out of their behinds. I'm serious about it, because you're walking around here not knowing what these fools are doing to you. I know you don't like my language. You think I'm harsh as a pastor. You are out of your cotton-picking mind. You're trying to argue how many books there are in the Bible, and the next thing you know, you're going to be walking into a stupid concentration camp in a number of years because you've lost the will to discern. Some of you know I'm telling the truth, and that's why you like Obama, because you never did like the way of being a rugged individualist and trying to do things and get out there working hard. You're a liberal. You want somebody to give you something. You think that you deserve something. You want the state to raise your children. You want the state to put your children on drugs because you don't know how to be a parent. You don't know how to raise them. And this is why Obama is able to put these people together, especially by the same-sex marriage, homosexual lover, Charles Blake. Man, it is ridiculous what he is and what his entire ministry is about. And the people that go to that church cannot think beyond looking at the wood and the hay and the stubble that they're sitting amongst. Oh my, Pastor John, you're an evil, wicked man. And I've gone over 1 hour. Our time is about up. Well, I got it all in. I'm glad I'm not wicked and evil. I love you enough to give you the facts. Mark, thank you for showing up with me tonight.
Thank you very much, and I hope everybody's been listening intently to what's been talked about.
Amen. God bless you, and Mark and I would ask you to do one thing. whatever you do, stay into the word. Good night.